Morning, welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it's hour number two already. It's 5 a.m. here in the Bayou City. Now let's run down to Port O'Connor, check in with our good friend, Captain Lynn Smith, see what he's doing this morning. Morning, Lynn, what's up?
Well, the wind.
Yes,
the wind's going to come up. I know that.
Yeah, they're calling for some pretty good gusts today. Breezy,
oh, yeah, over
higher gust.
Over 40. I tell you what, man, I'm tired of that.
I've had enough.
Me too. You know, people don't want to come down and lose their hats. You know, can't keep your hat on. I've had trips canceled because people don't want to drive down and then watch the wind blow.
No, nope.
I mean that's crazy. And I don't blame them. You know, I really don't.
Yeah.
I've told some people, you know, there'll be better days. there will be.
Yeah, there will.
Oh my goodness, what a deal!
Well, it's fishing season. I mean, everybody's got the hankering, man. They're ready to get out and get after it, and they're just
and you know, we
with the wind.
Yeah, and there's some real good fish this year. You know,
yes.
When we get out there, we've been catching some pretty good fish. But boy, howdy! I mean, you got to fight the elements. You know, it's been tough fighting that wind. But
yes.
When you do get out there, there's real good trout and reds. So it's but pretty tough. I like the high tide. I do like the high tide because I can get back in there after those redfish. But
are you getting a lot of slot redfish this year? We're having trouble catching slots right now. It's, man, a lot of undersized and a lot of oversized.
No, I've been catching slots, but I get back in the lakes to catch those, you know.
I'll send everybody to Port O'Connor. Come get you some slots.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, they're back in the lakes. I get after them. So
right.
we don't have a problem with that. But anyway, not a bad deal, but heck, this week I've been dealing with going to memorials for friends. Man, they're dropping like flies, I tell you.
It's something,
isn't it? It's been bad. I had to go to memorial yesterday for my old two-man team skeet shooting partner.
Oh, man.
And went to that memorial for Chris Summers, and I got that done, and that's sad but true. They called me and asked me if I'd bring pictures of him, you know, from skeet shooting days, and I did.
Right.
And that was good. You know, a lot of people were there. It was standing room only. And, you know, people were asking me about the pictures and all that. So it went over good. And I ran into a lot of old friends. So, anyway, it was good to see a lot of old friends. But
we're getting to that age. We need to quit waiting for funerals to get everybody together, you know?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Everybody needs to.
Absolutely.
Need to go back in time and reminisce and hang out with the ones that are still alive and thank God we're still here, you know?
Isn't that the truth? Yeah. I had a girl come up to me and she was a sister of this old friend of mine, and goodness, she still looked really pretty, and I said, oh my goodness, I said I didn't even recognize you, you know, I'm sorry, but I said, you still really look good, you know, she was pretty. Oh my goodness, she always was a pretty girl. And
some
I
of
still
us
is.
Age better than others, you know.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And a sweet girl. But anyway, some of them do. Some of them age really good. But anyway, it was good to see everybody and see a lot of old friends and hash over some real good stories. I passed out a lot of fishing, a lot of my cards, because a lot of people wanted to know if I was still guiding. I said, oh, yeah. And they wanted to know about the fishing in Port O'Connor.
Can't get away from it.
No, you can't. So anyway, it's good to good to talk about fishing, you know, and so anyway, it was a good day yesterday, but I didn't get home till after 6. So anyway, I was tired by the time I got home.
Yeah, it's a long day.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And emotional.
So it is. Oh yeah, it is. Very much emotional. But, yeah, because his wife, you know, she was dealing with a lot. She truly was. But anyway, but that was over with. But anyway, back to fishing. I'm ready to start fishing as soon as this wind lets up. But I was looking at weather. Goodness, we're going to have wind gusting over 40 for the next couple of days, two or three days.
They're calling for more high winds tomorrow, too.
Oh, I know.
Right. I want to go fishing tomorrow, so I guess I'm going to have to fight the elements. I hate it. The older I get, the worse I hate that.
Oh, goodness, I know it.
Just wears you out, man, wind blowing through your head. And
yeah. No, I know.
You know, when I went down and waited with Rihanna a couple of weeks ago, I'm standing there in about, I don't know, half thigh deep water and working my lure, and those gusts would come up, and it almost blow you over frontwards. I'm going, golly. Oh.
Isn't that something? Yeah. Good grief. I remember, many, many years ago, I was waiting down at Galveston over by the old airport down there, and it blew my hat off. And I mean, in a storm, and I never found it. I mean, it just literally blew it in the distance. And I mean, never found it. I was catching fish too. That's what killed me. I was into the fish, and my hat completely blew away. But I wasn't going to leave those fish. I wasn't going to leave them. Oh man!
We did that one time. I had a customer who was staying down at Bolivar, and I was supposed to pick him up at the dock down there. And tropical storm rolled into Galveston. I can't remember whether it was Chantal or Claudia. I don't remember. It was so long ago. And he said, well, look, I just got to go. I got to wet a line. You got anywhere we could probably catch some fish or just make a weight or something? I said, not by boat. But I said, we've got a southwest wind at 45. I said, meet me down at the dike down there by Boyd's, and we'll go wade Skyline Drive. Well, he said, I'm in for that. He crossed the ferry in that rut. I can't believe the ferry wasn't closed, but he came across the ferry and met up with us over there. I brought one other buddy with mine, and Plog jumped in. He drove his truck down there, and we all waded together. And we're waiting in that storm. You cannot get a lure back. I remember we all put on straight back red fins, and you could throw it up in that wind and just cast almost a spool of line off, and we could throw it way out deep. Those trout, you could see them slicking out there and running bait, and we couldn't reach them. You know, you were wading chest deep throwing at them. And, man, we're catching all these big trout. And I looked down and I said, who are those two idiots wading down there? I can't believe somebody's fishing in this stuff. And James is laughing. And he said, that's Maurice and Pete Tanner down there. And it was. I said, man, who is this mad at him? I wouldn't have gone if it hadn't been for my customer. He just had to go. And I said, well, I can put you on some fish. I don't know how good it'll be, but there's a bunch of fish over there. And southwest wind was perfect for it. Kind of like going to Powderhorn, you know, down your way to get out of that wind. And
oh, yeah.
That old dreaded southwest. And, but man, we caught one guy had a fish on, I know it was over 9 pounds that day. And we had a lot of good solid seven and a half, 8 pound trout catching them on those chrome and blue straight backs and bluefish. We were catching bluefish that go 7, 8 pounds. I'd never caught bluefish like that in Galveston Bay. Never.
No. No, I've never caught any that big down here.
No. I guess I got pumped in with those tides, man, because that water was pulled up, and, oh, man, raining so hard I couldn't see.
Oh, my gosh. I told you one day, I know I've told you this on the air before, but I couldn't believe it. I was wading across from the Gold Coast Guard station one time, and we're wading that flat, and I had one of my neighbors with me one day, and we're over there just wading that flat, and, man, I looked up, and this fish came up out of that deep water, came up on the flat, and made a big loop around us. And I said, oh, man, that was a shark. pretty good sized shark, you know. And man, he circled around us, and when he came around my buddy, and then he came toward me, and he was heading back to that deeper water. I looked, and that fish came within probably 30 feet of me. It wasn't a shark; it was a kingfish.
What?
Up on that flat? Up
How about
on the
that?
Flat. But we were right there, close to the Pass Caballo.
See? Sure.
He came in through the pass. But I couldn't believe it. It was a big old king right there, man. I said, oh, my gosh. No telling what you see out there, you know.
No, there's really not.
My gosh.
I had a listener yesterday. He texted me two or three videos of he was waiting somewhere in West Bay. I'm sure he's down close to the pass. And he had a bull shark that wouldn't leave him alone. I mean, he had like 11 encounters with this fish, and he was trying to head back to the boat to get the boat, and it would follow him, and he'd turn around and stop, and it would dart off. And you ought to see it's crazy. If I can forward it, I'll send it to you.
Man.
Big old black back bull shark, big old wide head on it, man, ready to bite somebody.
Mm.
And he said we weren't stringing fish. We didn't have any fish on our string or anything.
Oh, man.
They were throwing him back, and I guess he wanted him.
Yeah, probably did. I mean, you know, I've had him come up and bump me, you know.
Right.
And to test you, see what you are. And
what do you think they're doing, smelling of you, getting a scent or what, when they do that?
I don't know, you know.
I've had them rub me before, you know, rub down the back of my legs.
Oh, yeah. But I've had them bump me, you know, just come up and literally bump you.
Huh.
And I think they're testing you, see what you are. I don't know. But I had about a 6-footer come up and bump me once. And that's an eerie feeling. Trust me on that.
Well, yeah.
But, And then I had a donut one time with about 3 trout in it, and I was wading back to the boat. And the back of my hair kind of stood up. Something told me, man, something's not right. And I looked back, and there was about a 6-foot bull following my donut.
Ugh.
And, man, I stopped, and I jerked it away from him. And, he kept following it, and I poked at him with my rod, and that didn't do any good. And he kept circling me. And every time he circled me, that donut got closer because that rope wrapped around my leg. And he got closer and closer, and I kept trying to poke him in the eye, you know, and I kept missing him. And after about the third trip around me, I finally poked him in the eye, and he took off. But every time he circled me, you know, the pucker factor set in pretty good, you know. But, you know, 6-foot bull that close to you, you know, it's kind of eerie, I guarantee you.
Yeah.
It is. I waded that same flat here a while back, and there was a big raft of mullet, big raft of them. And I thought, man, I was working my way over to that raft, and I was throwing a top water, and I was getting blow-ups. And when I finally got up within casting distance of that raft, all of a sudden, man, there was a big dorsal fin came up right in the middle of that raft of mullet. And I said, "Oh!" And then all of a sudden I went, "Oops, that's not a porpoise. That's not a porpoise."
See, and that's what I don't like about them bull sharks, man, is they stay deep. They won't come up and show you their fin and their tail fin.
No.
And they stay down deep.
That's right.
And if the water's clean, you can see the dark spot coming at you. But, you know, in dirtier water, you don't even know they're around you. You don't see them. They don't come to the surface. They stay under
thing.
The water, man. That's what you can't see them.
Jeez. That's a bad thing down here. The water's pretty clear, and you can see them, you know.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. And, boy, I mean, that dorsal fin came up.
Well,
would
you rather wade where you can see them or wade where you can't see them and don't know they're there?
Oh, I want to see them. I want to see them.
I do, too. I want to see them, too. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Let me knock this break out. We'll come back and continue this conversation. I'll be right back at you, man. Well, the 36th Annual CCA Texas Star Tournament, that's right around the corner. That'll bust off next weekend, Memorial Day weekend. It'll run all summer long through Labor Day, and it's all brought to you by your Texas Ford dealers, Progressive Insurance, and Academy Sports and Outdoors. Get signed up today. You can take advantage of over $2 million and prizes and scholarships. That's for inshore and offshore divisions. 120 tagged redfish, they'll be released this week in Texas waters, and gives you a good chance at a boat and truck package. And you can fish for other species like gaff top, drum, and sheephead. And you can offshore fish for great prizes when you catch red snapper, ling, dolphin, and kingfish. Just go to startournament.org for rules, entry, and prize information. And the Star Tournament's brought to you by great sponsors like Mercury Marine, Lone Star Beer, Hall Power Polaris, Mouty Boats, Texas Fish and Game Magazine, ABC 13, Cryptek, and Coastline Trailers. Again, go to startournament.org, call 713-626-4222, get signed up today. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show on this Sunday morning. It's 519 here in the Bayou City. Okay, Lynn, we're back, my friend.
Yeah, I was at that memorial service yesterday, and I was talking to some of the guys there yesterday that go down and fish around greens, and we were talking about how bad the bull sharks were down around greens. And we got laughing about that. I told them about my neighbor across the street from me, and how last year I came in and got out of my truck, and I was just starting to clean my boat, and my neighbor walked across the street, and he said, "Hey," he said, "Man," he said, I was down at Greens today," and he said, "I was fishing croakers," and he said, "I took a dead croaker off my line, and I threw it out, threw it away from me," and he said, "I put on a live one," and he said, I just happened to look around, and he said, "A dead croaker was floating on the top," and he said, "There was a seagull hanging right above that dead croaker, fixing to pick it up, and about a 6-foot bull shark came out of the water and grabbed the seagull." I said, "You got to be kidding." He said, "No." He said, "Have you ever seen that?" I said, "No, I haven't." I said, "What'd you do?" He said, "I went to the boat." I said, "I don't blame you a bit." He said, "Man," he said, "I went to the boat real slow." I said, "I don't blame you." I think I would have
that one, brother. Oh, man.
Oh, man. Oh, I bet that got his attention.
It'll wake you up. But, boy.
Boy, I have seen a lot of sharks down there, I'll tell you. They are everywhere down there. They will eat you up. Whew, man. That's where I had three guys one day waiting with me down there. And actually one of them didn't wait. He stayed on the boat. So we got out of the boat. We hadn't been waiting 15 minutes. And all of a sudden I heard one of the guys holler at his buddy on my boat. He hollered at me to come pick him up. And I thought, "What's he doing? You know, we just got out of the boat. We haven't been fishing 15 minutes. And so the guy cranked my boat up and idled over and picked his buddy up. Then they came over to get me. And I said, "What are y'all doing?" He said, "About a 6-foot bull shark just came up and rubbed up against me." And he said, "I'm done." Now he said, "This is over." He said, "I'm fishing for the boat from now on." I said, "Oh, man. I don't blame you." I said, "There's a lot of sharks down here." He said, "Oh, my goodness." He said, "That was a big shark." Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
That's...
You know, that makes...
That'll curl your hair.
Oh, it will. It will. Yes, sir. When you don't even have a fish on your stringer, you know. And that day I had those guys down there, there were four of them. And everybody caught fish, and we get back to the boat. And everybody's kind of standing around the boat. I'm inside the boat, and I'm putting fish in the cooler. One at a time, I'm having them hand me the stringer, and I'm loading the fish in the boat. The last guy, I said, "All right, give me your stringer." And he handed me a stringer, and he had one of those chain stringers.
Oh,
like you,
man,
put crappie
on. Clip-ons like you use
for,
you know, freshwater fish.
Yeah. I said, "You got to be kidding me, man. This is your stringer." He went, "Yeah, what's the matter with that?" I went, "Oh, my goodness. You still have your legs?" I said, "Oh, my goodness."
Man, that drive me nuts, you know, waiting around with that, with them fish hanging all down your leg and everything.
Oh, he was so lucky. He was so lucky. I couldn't believe it. They don't make stringers long enough, as far as I'm concerned.
No.
Oh, man. No, you don't. You don't need a. You don't want a stringer down there.
Remember back in the day, everybody had those surf stringers, and they were like 20 and 30 feet long.
I know it. I know it. Yeah.
Had the little gas hook on the end of them, and the thin twine. You know, with that little long, elongated float on it, little white styrofoam float. Going, man.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And you know, I've had more shark encounters in the bay than I have in the surf. I guarantee you. I tell people that, and they go, "You kidding?" I said, "No, I'm serious."
When I was a kid, they used to make us get out of the water there at the pass, and we'd wade, you know, San Luis Pass or the Cedars down there.
Oh, yeah.
Some now monsters that swim through there.
That's a whole other story there.
Whew, Lord.
Yeah. I told you, I waded the pass of the Rudy and, several times, and oh, my goodness.
Mm.
Yeah. He used to wade the spot he always called Charcoal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. We used to catch a lot of trout right there. Yes, sir. You know, you were talking about sargassum. I love to see that sargassum weed come in, even though it makes a mess on the beach. But, boy, it brings in a lot of triple tail with that sargassum.
Yeah, it does.
And I came in through the jetties one day, coming back. We were catching trout in the surf. And I came in through the jetties, and I turned through the north jetty and in the bay, and just as I came in into the bay, man, there were triple tail everywhere underneath that sargassum.
Man,
I shut down. They were just all under that sargassum weed.
Right.
Everywhere you looked. Man.
They love that floating structure, man.
They do. They do. So, boy, every time I see that sargassum in the bay, man, I'm looking for those triple tail. You betcha. That is some good table fare there.
That's a big old saltwater crappie.
Boy, it is. It is. Good eating.
Yes. Excellent table fare.
I'm telling you. Yes, sir.
Man, I'm excited about snapper season opening June 1st, and it's going to be 107 days. I'm about ready for a big old snapper fillet on a platter, grilled to perfection with some good Oscar sauce poured over it. Hey, let's get on with it.
Fresh. There's nothing wrong with snapper throats, too.
Well, that too.
Oh, boy, howdy. A friend of mine had a 52-foot Viking, and his nephew was the captain on the boat. So I asked him, I asked that buddy of mine, I said, "Do you keep the throats off out of those snapper?" He went, "No, no, no." I said, "You're kidding me." He said, "No, you want them?" I said, "You bet." So he called me one day and he said, "Hey, you want these throats?" He said, "I got a bunch of snapper over here. If you want the throats, come get them." I said, "Okay." So I ran over his house and I cut the throats out of the snapper and went out on his dock and I cleaned them on his dock. And I said, "Let's run over here to Josie's restaurant and let them fry up some of these for us."
Oh, baby.
So we went over there, boy, and they fried some of them up for us. And he said, "Man, these are good. Gosh almighty." I said, "You going to tell your nephew about this?" He said, "Oh no. Heck no, I'm not going to." So we took a bunch of people out one day on that 52 Viking. We went out to the Liberty ships. We ran out there and caught a whole bunch of snapper. We came back in and we were cleaning the fish. And he and I were cutting the throats out of the snapper. And one of these young boys that was out there with us, he said, he saw us doing it. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "We're cutting the throats out of these fish." He said, what are you keeping those for?" And I looked at my buddy and we smiled. And he said, "We're going to put them in crab traps." And he went, Oh, okay. And we just laughed about it. Yeah, we're going to put them in crab traps, all right. You bet. Well, that's some of the best part of that fish, man.
Yeah, redfish too. If you want to mess with it, you got a good electric knife and you can do it. My dad used to do his redfish throats.
Excellent. Oh, you better know it. You better know it. Yeah, you better know it. Yeah, I was cleaning a bunch of trout on the table one day for customers, and there was a guy walked up there with his son, and he had a big snapper, And he commenced to cleaning this snapper, and he really didn't know what he was doing, and he was butchering the fish. And, he was showing off for his son, and he was really butchering that fish. We're all kind of watching this guy like, oh, my goodness. Well, when he got through, he was fixing to throw the head and the backbone and the throat and everything in the water. And I said, whoa, are you through with that? And he said, yeah, you want it? And I said, I sure do, yeah. He said, what are you going to do with it? I said, I'll cut it up, and I'll use it for bait or something, you know, crab traps or something. He said, okay. So he gave it to me. So when he left, I grabbed it and I cut that throat out of that snapper. And the snapper was big. And I cut that big old throat out. And I turned around to these customers and I gave them that big throat. And I said, guys, this is the best part of that snapper. Yeah. And I said, you take this home and you eat this and you will never, ever throw one of these away. I guarantee you.
It's like grouper cheeks. You know how you cut the cheeks out of a grouper's head? Boy, that makes for some fine food.
I
ate some over in Florida one time. We were over there, and you could get a grouper cheek sandwich, you know, like a pork.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my gosh, that was good eating. Big time.
Well, like you go to Alaska, and they have those halibut cheeks. Same deal.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. Oh, my goodness, they're fantastic.
That's the best part of halibut. I'm just not a big halibut fan.
Yeah.
I mean, they're okay, but, I mean, there's a lot better.
Oh, man. That's some fine eating, though. It is. Good eating. Man,
big
oh,
old,
man.
Big old flounder.
Boy, it is. It is that. I guarantee it. Yeah. I remember years ago, we had this old guy here. Oh, gosh. I'm losing his name. I can't think of his name now. I can't think of his name. Anyway, he was a character. He had been up to Alaska, and he brought back a halibut. And I don't know. It wasn't a huge, huge halibut. But he ended up going to Galveston with it, and he waited out there in the Galveston pocket. And he had that halibut, and he waded out there, and everybody was out there fishing in the pocket, you know, wading in the pocket, and he waded out there with that halibut. He said, hey, fellows, he said, I got a flounder here. He said, I don't know, this may be a state record. Can y'all tell me if this is a good one or not? And it was a Lee
pocket.
Richter. Lee Richter's who it was.
Lee Richter did Lee, that.
Uh-huh. I mean, you know, Lee was a character, man, you know. He was a real character.
Yeah.
He flew B-17s in the war.
Right.
World War II. Oh, my goodness.
That's what my Uncle Bill Chris, my uncle in Arkansas, that's what he flew.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, they had old Lee. Lee was on History Channel one time when they were doing a special about B-17s. And, he was a pistol, man. He was something. They said you had to be something to fly those B-17s.
Yeah, you had to. Well, I can't find the words for it proper. Let me take this break. I'll be right back, Lynn.
Yeah, okay.
All right, buddy.
Okay.
All right. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers. Easy to find right at the base of the Texas City Dyke at 227 Dyke Road. And, folks, if you're looking for quality bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be. And there's no better way to live your bait or your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. Check them out firsthand at the store. They have them on display. All their diffusers, regulators, different size bottles. Or if you need more info, you can call Jason Cogran at 281-701-8107. While you're by the store, check out all their wild-caught guff shrimp. There's no farm raised at Boyd's. So real guff shrimp, whether you're looking for the big 9-12s, a 15-18 count, what have you. They've always got them. Great prices, great availability. And crawfish, they are crawfish central. Nobody beats Boyd's on crawfish. They've got the best prices, best selection, and check out their Santa Fe location if you want them already cooked, or their Cajun Grill next door to Boyd's One Stop. Call them at 409-945-4001 or check them out at boydsonestop.com. When you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. 538 here in the Bayou City on a Sunday morning. All right, Lynn, we're back.
Yeah, old Lee Richter had a boat repair shop here in Port O'Connor.
Right.
And he also guided, but he only guided, he'd go to the jetties. That's where he fished.
Right.
And he had I think it was an Aqua Sport. And anyway.
Aqua Squirt? That's what I used to call them, Aqua Squirts.
Yeah. And he'd take them out there and anchor up. He'd fish at night mainly. And, boy, I can still remember old Lee. He had gray hair sticking out of that cap. And he'd go out there and anchor up and get them all lined out, you know. Had this one spot he always fished. They called the honey hole.
Right.
And he'd anchor them up, get them all baited up, and he'd say, okay, y'all got everything now? You got everything you need? They'd say, yeah. He'd say, okay, if you need anything, let me know. He'd go up on the bow with a fifth of whiskey and sit there and drink and say, okay, I'm done. but Lee was a real pistol, man. He flew B-17s and during the war. And, oh, man, he was a piece of work, I'm telling you. He was a lot of fun to talk to.
Crusty old salt.
Oh, he was, but you had to be back then. You had to be. I don't know how old he was when he passed away, but he was something to talk to. but I'm trying to remember
that old guy's name. A lot of my customers that back when I was young, when they first started fishing with me, they'd tell me about some guy down in Mansfield they fished with, or maybe it was Rockport. I can't remember. But I wish I could remember his name. You talk about barnacled up and salty. Those stories they'd tell me about that guy, he'd ride around driving the boat with his feet standing up on a console, and he'd call trout slam balls. He liked to catch redfish.
Oh, really?
He'd be running a flat, burning a flat, going, look at all these snot balls everywhere. They said that he never wore shoes.
Really?
His toenails were green. Looked like they had moss growing on them from wade fishing barefoot all the time.
Oh my goodness. I wish
I could remember that old codger's name, but, boy, I heard some good stories about him. Fishing machine, man.
I bet you Cliff would know it.
Yeah, probably would.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Man, oh, man. There were a lot of those old characters around when I first started fishing down here. You know, there were a lot of those old guys like that. They're all gone now. But,
they are.
Yeah. But, you know, we had an island down here over in Shoalwater Bay. They called Catman. You know which one I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Well, there was an old man living on that island. He had a bunch of cats. Had a little cabin right there on that island. And when Carla came through, you know, he didn't evacuate. And they never found him. Yeah, they never found him.
They never found any of them cats either.
No, you know.
To ride out Carla on that island, I mean, that island was probably 20 foot deep.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And I never found his body. And, you know, there were, for a long time, there were some poles there, you know, from that little building that he had, that little house. But that's all gone now. But, you know, I remember... For a long time, behind that island, we called it Jurassic Park because, boy, there was some big trout right there. I mean, we called some
dinosaur trout. Jurassic Park. I like that.
We caught some gators. We caught some gators right there, boy, because boats didn't run in there, see? Boats didn't run behind that island. Well, boy, those big old trout just hung right there. And, but then it got all grassy. It got too grassy in there. and the grass really grew up in there, and the fish just moved out of there. But boy, there for a while, man, we called it Jurassic Park.
I got a place in back was, East Bay I always called the graveyard, the big trout graveyard. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, why do you call it that? I said, because they come here to die, baby. Because we're going to kill them. We're going to kill them today.
Yeah, buddy.
Big trout graveyard.
Oh, we caught some big old trout back behind, you know, that island for sure. But, boy, when that grass grew in there, oh, it just ruined it, really.
Did it?
The big trout moved out of it.
I'll be darned.
But, boy, for a while, man, we whacked them. I wanted big trout. That's where I went. And just eased around in there. They laid up in there and spawned in there.
Right. Spawning flat.
Yeah, it was awesome. Oh, yeah. Oh, it was awesome. Awesome place.
Yeah, we've got a lot of areas in this bay system that you can bank on it every May and June. Those trout are going to be on these flats, and that's what they're going to do is spawn. You know,
yep.
We got like two different types of fish in this bay. You got your deep water fish and your shallow water fish, and a lot of them spawn shallow, and the others, they'll spawn over deep shell, you know, on tidal exchanges under full moons.
Man. Well, I'm ready for that. I'm ready for that to happen, but we got to have some wind lay down first. Oh, man. I'm ready for that. I got to get in the water this week. I do.
You know,
I really do.
Most of the data that all your fisheries people, whether it's Florida, Texas, Louisiana, you know, they claim most of our trout, most of the time, spawn at nighttime.
And, yeah.
I read an interesting article from Florida Fish and Wildlife one time about that, where they put microphones in the water, and they could hear the male trout drumming, you know, croaking, that noise they make, calling in the females. And by the tone of their voice or the sound of how big they were, the females would seek them because they knew that that fish was big enough to, you know, to fertilize all the eggs they were fixing to squirt. And I don't know, it was several years back. I had a good customer, John Nobles. He was a fireman in Conroe. Great guy, good fisherman. And we ended up over in East Bay. We couldn't get anything going in Trinity Bay. And, well, we caught a few, but we wanted to get them good. I ended up on Deep Reef over in the middle of East Bay, high noon, 1 o'clock, somewhere, you know, midday. And there was these big rafts of mullet, and the mullet were spawning on that reef. They were all rafted up. And we got to, when I was trolling motoring around in them, I got to seeing these huge trout. Be a big female, anywhere from 24 to 28 inches, just floating on the surface, kind of like a triple tail. And then you'd have a male come up, and he would, if she was pointing to the west, he would point to the east, and he would get his anal fin close to hers, and as she squirted eggs, he would fertilize them. It's
permanent. Oh, man.
And I think we ended up catching one of those big fish that we could see. John finally caught one about 7 pounds. But those males, you talk about aggressive. You'd even throw a lure towards a female. Those males would jump all over it, like they were protecting or waiting for their opportunity, you know. And that, I've been fishing a long time and seen a lot of things, but I've never seen anything like that. And
that was
incredible. And, well, there was one other guy out there, not even close to me. He was probably a quarter mile from me, but I think he was doing the same thing. And I seen him, you know, standing up on a deck throwing at fish like we were doing. Those big trout were just floating in those mullet. While they were spawning, the trout were spawning too. It was pretty, that was probably one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
Man, oh, man. That was something.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Mm. Watching nature in action. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it's about.
But we were on the full moon then, you know, and it was. But they were blasting off in the daytime when they usually do it at night. pretty strange.
Yeah. Well, I can't help but think that, you know, they're spawning at night too, because a lot less boat traffic also, you know. You got a lot less boat traffic.
Yeah.
And
that I read out of Florida stated also, you know, pretty similar to what you're saying right there.
Yeah. Let everything calm down.
Everything settles.
And, you know,
out.
I tell people too, I say, you want to catch a big trout, you go where there's no boat traffic. You
yes.
know? Definitely. And you go where there's no boat traffic. I look for areas back in some of these lakes where the boats don't run.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you wade back into some of these pockets and such as that. And that's where you're going to find your bigger trout. And, you know, with the mullet stacked up in there, and there were big trout are in there chasing those mullet. But, you know, I tell people, you know, I look for areas like that where the boats can't run, and that's where you're going to find the big ones. They're not going to hang where there's boats running in and out of there. It's just not going to happen. And I was telling guys yesterday at that memorial about seeing a little gut between two little islands, and I was waiting, and I thought, man, there's got to be a fish laying in that gut, you know, yeah. a little small gut. And I must have thrown 24 times in that gut, you know, thinking I'm going to catch a flounder, I'm going to catch a red or something is going to be in that little gut, and never got a bump, you know. I worked that little gut over big time, nothing. And finally I just said, well, there's nothing in it. So I went to wade through there, and when I waded through there, big old trout just shot out of that little gut, you know.
He just didn't want to eat, or she didn't.
That's right. That's right. She didn't want to eat. She just laying in there.
Have you ever seen trout tailing much down your way? Man, I used to see them a lot up here, especially
yeah.
around the hog
yeah,
pens and behind rollover.
Well, I've seen them.
And the van
I see them tailing with reds,
yeah.
you know. I see a ball of reds tailing, and I'll see a dark tail in there too. And I'll see a big trout in there with them. And I tell people that, you know, you look, and you'll see a big trout tailing with them, right in there amongst them. And people say, oh, bull. I say, no, you'll see it. You'll catch a big trout right in there with those reds.
Yeah. First time I ever saw him do it was back in the early 80s. I had a old fishing buddy of mine, old Gary Anderson from Beach City, fishing with me, and we'd run all the way over to East Bay, and we were back behind Roll over there in Blacks and what we call the hole. And, man, we're throwing mirror lures, and we're catching one here and there. It's nothing right home about. Solid fish, 4 and 5 pounders, but I don't know, about an hour before dark, all these big black tails kept sticking up over little tow heads. And I'm going, man, are those drum? The tails were so big and black, I thought they were black drum. And I waded in shallow and kept throwing at them, and they were just waving in the breeze like black wisp brooms. I mean, there was dozens of them all up and down that bank. And, buddy, about 20 minutes before it got dark, those tails went away, and we started catching huge trout. We'd died and gone to heaven. I don't know how many big fish we caught that night. We had to run back. We had to run all the way back to Trinity Bay in the dark, but it was worth it. Oh, my goodness.
I bet.
Then I figured it out. I said, those trout were tailing. When they're tailing, you can't catch them. But when they go away and, you know, move around, it's on. They start feeding like crazy. I don't know why they do that thing.
Well, they're down there rooting around too, you know, just like a red. But what I do is I throw soft plastic, and I'll bring a plastic to them, and I just let it drop. I let it drop right in there in them. And I watch my line, and that fish will dig it out, and they'll dig it out, and they'll run away from the pod.
Right.
And the reds will do the same thing, and they'll run away from the pod so that the other fish don't get it, you know. And I let them run away from the pod, then I set the hook. I won't set the hook when they pick it up.
Right.
And I'll catch several fish out of that pod. But
yeah, this was back before, you know, the soft plastic craze, when all we had back then was hard baits, you know, spoons and barrel lures and stuff, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A bow and soft plastic came out. I can remember when Bass Assassin came out.
That was a game changer, wasn't it?
Good Lord. I was in San Luis Pass and fishing with a buddy of mine. And, man, all of a sudden, he started catching fish. I said, what in the world are you catching them on? What are you using? What are you using? he said, check this out. This just came out. It's called a Bass Assassin out of Florida. I said, you got to be kidding me. I said, give me one of those. And, man, that was a game changer right there.
Yep, that really was. You know, we thought, you know, the Kelly Wiggler days and the Hoagie days and all that were big time, which they were in that day and time. But, man, when we started throwing them rat-tail assassins,
all I threw
was a Texas Red or a Red Shad. That's all I carried. I mean, that's all you need. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Remember that old Texas Red with the glitter in it?
Well, I like the red flag.
It had a white belly and a lot of silver glitter with that red back. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I like the red flash. That's mine.
Well, red flash, too. That was the one that didn't have any white on the belly. It was just solid flash, you know, under the red back.
No, it had a little white belly on it.
Well, maybe I'm calling it wrong. Texas Red was the other. Either or. They both were big time. They were.
Yeah, red. But the red flash had the little
Texas
white belly.
Red.
Oh, my goodness. I used to go through thousands of those red flashes, you know, because of customers. I was buying them by the thousands in bags, big bags. And, of course, I was dishing them out to customers. But, oh, my goodness. I mean, that was my go-to bait.
Dead red.
And
that's a good color, buddy. When you threw red, they were going to be dead.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
man,
the days,
man.
Brother. Oh, the days.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Well, Lynn, I got to go. Flesh. It's already national anthem time, man. Look, somebody wants to call you about coming down to POC, how they get a hold of you?
Yes, sir. They give me 361-935-6833.
All right, brother.
Yes, sir. Lynn. Man, it's time.
All right. Sorry about you, buddy. And you have a good week.
Oh, man, yeah. I'm ready to start hitting it. I got to get in the water. It's driving me crazy.
All right. Yeah. Got to moisten up.
Turn the wind down, will you?
I will. I'll work on that.
Okay.
See you, man. Later.
All right, man. Have a good one. Bye.
All right. Top of the hour coming up. National anthem and all that. You're listening to The Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.